Do you want to get smarter about your health but feel overwhelmed trying to separate fact from fiction? Well, I deeply understand that, and that's why I want to find a source that we both could trust, you and me. And I found this podcast. So let me introduce you to the Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast. With the help of world-leading scientists, they help you make smarter, healthier choices every single week. And don't just take my word for it. Avid podcast fan Joanne's Apple Review says this. Joanne's Apple Review says, Zoe Science and Nutrition is always informative and always understandable, and that she's definitely a healthier person listening to this and following Zoe's advice, which I love. We love sources that you can trust. And if you're ready to join millions of others like Joanne, transforming their health and like me, then search for Zoe Science and Nutrition wherever you listen to your podcast. I promise you will not regret it. It is an awesome show, and I've learned so much from it. Go check it out.
So much is changing and so much is shifting, and sometimes a good conversation where we get vulnerable with our lessons is exactly what we need. And that's what this episode is going to be today. I am actually a guest on this episode, so I feel like you will get to see a different side of me, a different way that I perceive my relationships, and I cannot wait to strip down and dive in with you, baby, because this is skinny dipping and there is nothing but vulnerability and realness here. What is up, guys, and welcome back to Skinny Dipping. I'm Keila Rose, your host, where we dive into the mind, the body, and the soul. You know it, third one, the soul, in order to create actionable change in our lives, because we can talk about these self, quote unquote, self-improvement things in theory all day long. But how do we make it actionable? How do we embody the change? How do we embody the evolution that we are all currently experiencing? I cannot wait for next week's episode because I have been having so many downloads lately, but I need a little bit of time to process these downloads that I'm experiencing. So I am actually releasing an interview that I did a couple weeks ago. This is going to be the second half of the interview because I feel like in the second half, we really cut to the point, really got into juicy lessons around relationships and healing and lifestyle preferences. And I just know that this is going to be an amazing way for you to see me from a different angle, a different perspective as a guest. And I went on Live Fit Listens with Olivia. I am so honored. She is releasing the first part of the episode and also just like the entirety of the episode on her page on Wednesday. So go click her show in the show description. In the Skinny Dipping show description, you'll find her show there. You can click it, you can subscribe to her, and then you can listen to the full episode on Wednesday. But I just thought this second part had so many juicy bits, and I just know that you're going to get so much out of it. So I really hope you enjoy it. Let's get ready to strip down and dive in. I'm Keila Rose. This is Skinny Dipping. Make sure to subscribe if you're new. And if you want to join the Soul in Progress community, we are doing a book club with All About Love by Bell Hooks, which is an amazing book that really shows the intersectionality of love in race, class, gender, and just, yeah, seeing love from this very intersectional point of view. I love Bell Hooks and her work. I am completely enamored by this book so far, and I would love for you guys to join book club. So go ahead, check that out. Also, if you want to be in podcast camp, because one of my students got their very first sponsorship. I'm so proud of her. You can go ahead and sign up for the waitlist, also in the show description. Let's just strip down and dive in. Thank you for listening to all the announcements. Let's just get into the juiciness, get into the episode. Support the every... Okay, bye guys.
If you don't mind, I kind of want to talk about your relationship, not like anything super personal, yeah, but just like...
We can get personal.
Okay. But I just, because especially now speaking of the terms of like mother and father dynamics, kind of make me think of relationships. You said that you were in your relationship for, you've been in your relationship for 9 years now, which I think is super commendable. Congratulations.
And so crazy.
Super respectable. I know.
It's weird. I'm like, that's weird. No one else around me gets it. I'm always like, I feel so alone, not in my relationship, but alone in like the...
Yeah,
because I've outlasted all my friends' relationships and multiple of their relationships.
Yeah, I'm dude,
like, it's so weird.
Well, no, that's like longer than some people have like been married. You know what I mean? Like that's such a long time, which is awesome. But so I guess I was just curious of how, because I feel like I definitely get some questions of kind of keeping your independence in a relationship and like being in that relationship for so long, you know, like that's, you've moved through so many ages, through so many different life phases with your same partner. And I think that is so beautiful that you guys have still been able to keep that compatibility and like adapt and flow with each other as each one's evolving. So how has that been, I guess, moving through different versions of you while keeping your same partner?
It's crazy because I genuinely don't feel like I've been with the same partner for 9 years. That's what I will say, because it feels like both of us are so different than we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It feels like we are both always constantly changing. And I remember being in college, which was like 5 years ago, and telling my friends like, the one thing that I truly value, this is when I was single. Me and my partner, we broke up for like a year during college because we were doing long distance. So when I was like kind of thinking about relationships during that time, I said that, you know, the most important thing to me in a relationship is somebody who's willing to grow, shift, change, and evolve with me.
Yeah.
I think I'm the type of person where I get like anxiety if I'm stagnant. Like I love to move forward. I love to evolve. I love to shift. I love to grow. So I think it's a non-negotiable for me that my partner also has those qualities. I think both of us go to therapy. He is also like on his journey, not as far in as I am, obviously, in terms of like, it's just such a big part of my life. For him, yeah. It's more like a 20% part of his life, but he's still on his journey, very conscious, very aware, very awake, very willing to learn, to be open-minded. And I think that's how we have, you know, really made it work, is because we both have changed and evolved. And there has been so many cycles and periods where I do feel like we are a little bit mismatched, but then it always ends up like coming back where we end up matching again, because we're both just growing and changing and evolving at different rates and in different ways. So I think it really has taught me that like unconditional understanding of, you know, I don't need my relationship to like be my whole life or like be super perfect. Cause in fact, like we definitely like argue and like get very honest and like have had tons of roadblocks and tons of thresholds to cross. Just like starting to date at such a young age, we brought a lot of our tendencies as kids, as teenagers, into our adult relationships. So I think that it's just literally knowing that we're growing and changing and evolving and accepting that, and accepting when we also are mismatched and not making it mean that there's something wrong with us or there's something wrong with him. I think radical responsibility is the biggest thing that has changed my life in the relationship. I always tell people if I could go back and change one thing, I would not be as codependent in the beginning, because I think you become really codependent and excited when you're with somebody, especially at a younger age, but also older people too, just in the beginning of a new relationship, like you become enmeshed and codependent. And then what I've had to do is we've had to like go to therapy and literally unenmesh ourselves. I think both of us having our own individual goals has been a really big thing that has kept us together, because I'm able to really focus on my purpose. He's able to focus on his purpose, and then we're able to support each other. But I'm not going to lie and say that it's easy, because it has not been easy at all. Like it has not been easy. Like even like 2 months ago was like the first time in a couple years where I was like, should we break up? And I kind of was like, do we need to break up? And, you know, just being willing to have those tough conversations, I think, is what it takes to move through it, is honest communication. And the thing that I always say that I'm like so grateful for in our relationship is like, relationships are the shortcut to healing, because they show you all your triggers. They show you every single place where you feel insecure. They show you every single place where you feel codependent and not good enough. Like, they are going to bring those things to the surface. And I used to be so scared of negative emotions that didn't feel good, that felt painful, that felt icky, that felt uncomfortable. And now I see those emotions when they come up and I'm like, thank you. Because they wouldn't come to the surface if they weren't wanting to heal. The reason why relationships are a shortcut to healing is because they bring those things to the surface so that we can have awareness of them. We can give them some love. We can ask ourselves, what do you need within this security within this insecurity, within this trigger, within this past programming, and what do you need? And I ask myself, what do I need? Sometimes my partner, but it's really taught me, like, I am emotionally responsible for myself and right. I am responsible for my regulation. And it, yeah. So honestly, I know that was so much. Sorry. That was like a lot of information within one. You bring me back. Yeah. Relationships are crazy. I could talk for like 10 hours everything I've learned, but.
I love it though. That was so mature. That was so profound. Like that was just literally emotional intelligence at its finest. I relate to that so much, especially how you said that, you know, relationships, because they're like a mirror for you. They are totally a mirror for you. And I feel like the biggest thing that I learned, because I went through, like, I was super more into my spirituality and kind of more mindfulness back in like 2021 to 2022. And I felt like I was like, wow, like I've really healed so many triggers, like blah, blah, blah. But it's like, sis, like you're only so healed when it's like, are you quote unquote healed, which, you know, it's always an ongoing process, so that doesn't exist. But B, it's like, are you healed or are you living in a vacuum right now with no triggers? And like, that's how kind of I was, you know what I mean? I kept a really small circle. I wasn't in a relationship. Like I was doing my own thing. So it's like, I'm not, you know, that's super commendable to feel very fulfilled and happy in your own presence, in your own company, in your own life. Like that's great. I'm not taking that away from myself. But at the same time, it's like, there's still so much more to heal when you're actually around other people and you actually are having triggers in your environment for you to actually now have opportunities to say, okay, this is now past programmings are now coming up because they're being pinged because there actually is a trigger here. Now I can actually create space and figure out, okay, am I going to be acting from past programmings, from my ego, or am I going to choose from, you know, to respond from how my higher self would? And I've been in a relationship now for like a year and maybe 3 months now at this point. And That's honestly great.
That's like a year, like, is a huge threshold to cross. I feel like that's like, you're really like, oh, I could see myself like co-creating a life with this person. Like once a year hits, you're no longer like playing around.
100%. Yeah. And I feel like I've learned so much in this relationship, more so about myself, but because of exactly what you said, they're reflecting back to you things that you need to heal. There's more triggers. And I kind of described it to him as, you know, I think when we have experiences when you're a kid, you know, there's all these traumas, and I kind of picture them more so as something underground, like little landmines. And so it's kind of like, I feel like you can only quote unquote heal, I'm using that term lightly, but like heal different triggers you have by yourself. When you're exploring, like there's certain landmines, how should I explain this? There's certain landmines that you can only hit with other people. So it's like, there was only so much work I could do by myself, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
With healing my triggers without someone else, sparking different triggers within me, you know? So there were certain things that I didn't know that I needed to heal until he came in and we had different interactions and he said different things. And for some reason I was like, whoa, that pinged something in me. I feel triggered. This was a whole area that I didn't even see that was underground because I never actually hit it myself. You know what I mean? And it was a landmine for me. And I realized, oh, this is something else I need to heal, but he showed it to me. And so it's like, there's been so much more healing.
I love that you said that. Like, am I really like not triggered? Or am I just not being exposed to things out of my comfort zone?
Yes. Like, even better way to put it, 100%. Yeah, it's like, are you pushing yourself?
That's profound.
Yeah.
That's profound for sure. Because, yeah, I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, I'm so good. But then it's just like, or are you just like isolating yourself? especially like post-COVID times where it's like we got so used to like isolating ourselves that now it's like even scarier for so many people to go out of their comfort zone. And I think something that I love is just genuinely loving the shadow, loving my shadow self and just being like, I'll welcome you in, girl. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, bring it in, babe. Like, and like loving my shadow self and loving when things come to the surface. Like sometimes I even like love a good little breakdown because I genuinely believe breakdowns lead to breakthroughs. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let's do a little check-in. Close your eyes, put your hand to your heart and ask yourself, how is my social battery right now? Am I feeling drained? Do I have energy? Am I kind of somewhere in the middle? It can be so easy to ignore our social battery and our own needs and just spread ourselves too thin, especially with summer and spring coming up and social events picking up once again. And therapy can give you better self-awareness to help build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, and it'll help you set better boundaries. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, I would suggest to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/skinnydipping today to get 10% off. You heard that right, 10% off your first month. Visit betterhelp.com/skinnydipping. Let's get back to the episode.
Yes.
And if I haven't like kind of had like a breakdown in a minute, I'm like, what am I avoiding? Like, true. It's maybe not that, because I just think that we're spiraling constantly in our evolution. So with that, there's going to like be these moments of major discomfort. So I don't like to get too comfortable. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like happy to welcome it in. But also I will say, I feel like everyone's different in this lifetime. I don't think there's one like right or wrong way to do it at all. Like, I think that some people like living a more like simple, undisrupted life, like is what their soul was meant to do in this lifetime. And, right. you know, I love that for those people. And then some people are meant to like just be the phoenix, like constantly death, rebirth, cycles. And like, I just think our souls come to learn different things in this lifetime. So it's just not a one size fits all kind of. It's just like, what does your soul need in this lifetime, you know?
Right. And it circles back to this, like another perfect example of how I feel like the yin yang symbol is life. Like, we need both of those people to complete the whole. It's like, we can't all be one side of it. You know, we can't all be the phoenix, or else there'd be no balance. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like, we need both of it, you know?
So. Exactly. Yeah. And in relationships, what I will say is I couldn't be his mentor or his healer or his therapist. I think that's what like people in general, I will say women, but honestly, all relationships, there's like typically a more like anxious attached partner, avoidant attached partner. Usually the anxious is trying to fix the avoidant. Like, there's all these like common patterns that we see within relationships that come up. And I was like, definitely before Hobbs going to therapy, that's my boyfriend's name, Hobbs, I would definitely try to like fix him and tell him, and like him as an avoidant, he doesn't want to like hear me telling him what to do. That's going to trigger him and like his sense of like independence and feeling criticized and things like that. So for me, I think having a partner who's willing to do the work on their own is a non-negotiable for me, because I'm not their mom, I'm not their therapist, I'm not their partner. And I realized it was up to me to change that within myself for him to begin to change. We think, oh, I just have to wait for this person to change and then I'll back off. Like, if they get more responsible, then I'll stop telling them what to do or stop criticizing them or stop offering them feedback, like on what they should do or how they're acting. But it's like, I actually instead, the real solution there was I needed to step back first to give him space to step forward. I needed to be in more my surrender and more my feminine to allow him to step up and take action. And I think him going to partners going to therapy is a non-negotiable for me. Like, you don't have to go all the time, you don't have to go every single week, but you better be self-aware and reflecting. And you know, we all have shit to heal and move through, and it's not something to be demonized, but it is something that's a non-negotiable for me. It's just like, if you want to be with me, who is constantly changing and evolving, then I definitely, a non-negotiable is that you are also working on yourself and hopefully getting help from the outside with somebody else. Because I want our relationship to be, you know, obviously I want to support my partner, but we can't be our partner's therapist. And I think a lot of people probably will relate to this, even with friends. Like, we try to like fix them.
Right.
And when we try to quote unquote fix people, we're enabling them to not realize that they are so capable and independent and so capable on their own. We hold them back from that. And real love is being like, I believe in you. You got this. If you need help, I got a professional. I got a professional that you can call.
Yeah.
I don't think that's my job. Not my circus, not my monkeys. You know? I think that was a big thing that like has made our relationship last. I think that's and also like not making like one disagreement or one fight or one argument spiral into making meaning that does not exist. I feel like what people do is we make meaning out of one thing. We'll see one thing that our partner does and we'll make this whole story, this whole meaning. They don't care about me. They don't, the blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't do this. They don't do that. And it's just like, stopping yourself and being like, what story am I in right now? And mm-hmm. sometimes I will say some people's partners suck and they should break up with him. That's like a whole nother topic.
Takeaway. Yeah.
But if you do have like a partner who's willing to grow and change and evolve with you, like allowing yourself to not get caught up in the stories and not making it mean when they do one thing. Yeah. What you said, assuming, like I'm right. Assuming is like the worst thing that we can do for ourselves. It's just like, why are we assuming? Like, let's get curious instead. And that's what I love right. to think about instead of being like, don't do this, don't do that. I think about what I do want to do. What is the medicine to mm-hmm. assumptions? What is the medicine to expectations? What is the medicine for making meaning in stories and running wild with it? It's literally just
right.
getting curious, asking questions, being willing to listen, being willing to see another perspective, another side. I realized this a couple years ago and it completely changed my life that if I want my external world to change, like I'm the one that needs to change first. Mm-hmm. And that radical responsibility Preach. Saves me every single time. Whenever I'm spiraling, it's because I'm in victim mode. And when I you know, obviously there are situations where somebody, you know, is being not treated right. And like maybe would be the victim in that situation. But what I will say is a lot of times the little things that we get upset about, like the little daily things, we put ourselves in this like, yes. oh my God, poor me, this is happening to me. And it's just like, okay, well, what can you shift within you? Like right. if I am freaking out because my partner doesn't want to hang out with me every single day and they don't want to spend every moment with me, I need to check myself and be like, is that my partner's responsibility? Or am right. I being fucking codependent and do I need to heal this codependency within me? So mm-hmm. I think actually being in a relationship has taught me how to truly be independent because right. I've been forced to look at the parts of myself that are codependent, that are a mesh, that don't want to be alone, that is like the part of me that's so scared of my own feelings and company sometimes. And it's just right. like, it's so scary until we actually face it. And then we're like, oh. That wasn't that bad. Like a good little cry, a good little reflection, a good little yes. moment. Like we can feel this. We can do this. We can look at the darker, deeper parts of ourselves. Like, so I realized when I change me, everything outside of me changes. Like down to the T. Like I've literally had people like ignoring me, not texting me back for business or whatever. Like, and like one time I literally sat there and reflected on it and like did this whole unraveling in my head in meditation, just being like, okay, but you're expecting this of that person. You never know what's going on in somebody else's life. And immediately right. during that meditation, they texted me back after That's 3 amazing. Months of not hearing from them, of being ghosted. The moment that I change it within me,
yes.
the whole energy changes. So I've seen like those pieces of proof where wow. it's just like, oh shit, like the moment that I shifted that energy,
right.
They actually came straight to me.
Right. Because I feel like it's also releasing how I visualize that is always like releasing the resistance of that. Because everything is always energy. So like, even if you're not seeing someone face to face, like even that just situation you're in, even if it was remote, like there's still energy that is in that interaction, in that situation. And so I always picture it as like having kind of all these rocks in a stream or like just trying to put so much pressure on something that causes all this resistance. And like, once you can release that resistance or detach from the situation or release the rocks in the stream so that it could actually flow through and not have all those blocks in it, like that's when, you know, you actually become magnetic for that thing to flow in, or you kind of just release that resistance so things can actually flow. It's insane how instantaneous it is. I love that you shared that because it's so real, like for so many
it's
different
so
things.
It's so real. And I love the proof. Like, yes. and if you need the proof, ask for the proof. Like, right. I think somebody can tell you something over and over again, but once you see it for yourself, you're like, oh, well, I know that that's a real thing because right. I literally experienced it. And I think if you're listening to this right now and you're like, oh, I haven't really had a situation where that's happened, like literally ask the universe, like, show me the proof. Like when we give up our free will like that, we're like, ask, and like, not the most fucking basic thing ever, ask and you shall receive, but it's kind of serious. Like
true, yeah.
if you are like, I would love to see proof that when I release my resistance, something will come through instead. And watch and wait, baby.
Yeah. You watch. No, for real. And the other thing I wanted to say, circling back to, because I feel like you said so many great points that I wanted to unpack, but just circling back to not assuming with your partner, like that is such, I think, a huge source of conflict for a lot of people, is that they do make assumptions in the relationship and then they don't talk it out or clarify the assumptions. And then those things build, and then they have more little instances that cause, you know, more resentment to build up that still don't ever get unpacked. And then it just kind of is this small, you know, brick by brick. And then eventually it's the straw that broke the camel's back. And not to reference the greatest book of all time, but The Four Agreements, hello, yes, by Don Miguel Ruiz. That's like one of his main, one of the four agreements is to never make assumptions. And it's crazy. Again, if you haven't read that book, it's The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I've talked about it so much on my podcast.
It's so good.
It's so basic. It's such a
prerequisite for life.
For everything. For everything. It's literally basically the life's Bible. Like, it's so good. And it's so simple. It's such an easy read, but it's like those, the four agreements that he speaks about are applicable to like so many different life scenarios. And they just, anyways, it always makes sense. So I think that's so big, is just really not making assumptions with your partner. And then actually just how you said, like thoroughly communicating everything when things come up. Like that's been a big thing for my boyfriend and I, is like when something comes up, we're hashing it out. Like we're not, you know, if we need to sit on it for a few days, that's fine. I'm definitely that person who I'm like, I'm overwhelmed, I need to think about it. And then like, we'll talk, but we're still unpacking it at some point. You know what I mean? Even if it seems small, but I got irritated, like we're going to communicate about it and like fully clear it, because I feel like those little things that build up can really be deadly. That like resentment that can really come back to kind of bite you guys if you don't clear it. And the other thing I wanted to say about your codependency that you were saying, that you kind of realized that you had codependent tendencies from your relationship. I feel like something I have realized too is like a love language of mine is definitely words of affirmation. And I think it is important to honor your partner's love languages and like show up for them. But at the same time, I feel like I was really seeking words of affirmation as really strong validation from my partner. And my partner isn't as like super expressive, I will say, in that sense. Like that's not his main love language. But so essentially, I'm just trying to say that was a big takeaway for me that I realized of like a wounding in myself, was that I really crave words of affirmation as a way to validate myself, in not necessarily like in a way of, because I'm not giving myself that validation. So like that's been something I've been working on, is like giving myself what I need to hear, you know, not needing this outside validation to tell myself that I'm worthy or that I'm good enough. Like I can believe that myself without feeling like I need a partner to tell me that to then believe it about myself, you know?
Totally. So, and also knowing it's okay for your partner to not know exactly what you need. And right, sometimes we do have to kind of like teach our partners like what we need. And it's all about like the delivery, like we were talking about earlier, the way it lands. Using I language is really important. Using I, me language rather than you don't do this, you don't do that. Like, for example, my love language is like questions. Like I'm a Gemini moon. Curiosity literally is my love language. Like I love asking people questions, and usually the ways that we show love are the ways that we want to receive love. So I just know that questions are a big thing for me, where my partner is, he's more like grounded energy, where like you and me, like we're more like airy. We can bop, 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 chat, chat, chat. And he's more grounded, and sometimes like he has nothing to say.
That's like, literally, I'm like, feel like nothing. Like
I'm like, hello. But dude, it's
literally same.
It's like loving those parts of them. I'm like, wow, I love that you ground me. Like maybe I wouldn't want to date myself, is what I realize. Like maybe I really need someone to balance me out. But then also like when I realized, for example, I realized I love questions. Maybe my partner doesn't ask me questions. He kind of like assumes that I'll tell him, because I just like I'm a yapper.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell him like everything. But I realized, okay, I need to step back and allow him to ask me questions so he can practice. And so instead of being like, you never ask me, like, you never ask me questions, you never do this, like blah, blah, blah. Instead of being like, oh, I've kind of noticed lately, like the way that I really feel loved is when someone's really curious about me. Like when we go out to dinner, like, do you think that you can work on maybe just like asking me questions about myself? Because I know that I'll tell you and I know that you know that, but I feel like it would really make me feel loved if that was something we could do. And like that delivery of being like, me, this is what I need, rather than being like, you don't do this.
It feels way less of an attack.
Totally. No one wants to be attacked. Mm-hmm. If you attack someone, they're going to get defensive. That's a 100%. big lesson I've had to learn. Because like, I can definitely be like, no bullshit. Like, you don't fucking do this. Right. But then it's like, okay, well, if I go at someone, they're going to fucking be like, girl, like the avoidance going to hit. So it's like, I think for me, changing my language and communicating to my partner what I need without being like, you don't ever do this. And also eliminating any language that says always or never. Mm. Like, you always do this. You never do this. You always are out with your friends. You never text me back. Whatever it is, like those types of language, when we see that in a when we see those types of language in our vocabulary, we know it's our ego. Like, it's immediately ego. Like, because the soul sees nuance. The soul sees the gray area or like the rainbow in between. But the ego is going to be like, it's black or white. It's this or that. I need to have this firm story so that I can feel safe. Like, that's what the ego says. The ego says, if I can conceptualize it, if I can tell myself a story, an overarching story, then I can predict what's going to happen. And then I'm going to feel safe. But it's like the soul knows there's so much nuance. There's so much in between. Like, it's not always, and it's never. It's never, never. Yeah. Never say never. Yeah. In the words of JB, never say never.
Thank you, sir. Dude, that was so profound. That was so, like, that was so well said. I think it's so true. My mom actually was the one who told me that a few years ago, because she used to get so mad because we have like family group chats, of course. And so if like we're having like a sibling fight in there, my mom would be like, don't say always, like, you know, that's not true. But it's true. Like, it gets so triggering when you say that, because it's also like discounting the other person as well. It's like, because you know it's not actually always, or you know it's not actually never. It's like you're discounting all the times they have showed up for you. But I've seen that as well in my own relationship, of just openly communicating my needs, because my partner and I have had to communicate a lot about learning how to love each other, of what we are needing from one another. And like, a big thing for me was that I really like, as cliche as it is, I really like flowers. And like, that was never something my boyfriend really thought to do. Like, it's not necessarily his first urge to like show love. Like, he's way more acts of service, which is fine, and I appreciate that and I love it too. But so that was exactly what I had to do as well, just like an open conversation. And I wasn't like, there's all these people getting flowers and you don't ever get me flowers. Like, you know, it's like, who, even if they love you so much, it's like, no one, like, think about your best friend. If you know, you obviously love your best friend so much, if they came to you saying that they, you know, wanted to be loved in a different way, and that's how they came at it, their angle, you'd be like, okay, well, that was super rude. Like, I don't really want to show up for you in that way.
Yeah,
you
know? You're like that. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's like, if someone comes at you.
Yeah, and I think like one of the best ways to inspire, like to get a change in someone, I guess, quote unquote, is to inspire that within them to want to do that. And so it's like, no one's going to feel inspired to take that action out of love if they just felt this, you know, attack out of hate, you know, kind of this intention that you were out of. So it's just like, it does so much more when you can actually speak from kindness. And like you said, using that perspective of I, of just, this is just sharing my needs. And it's just way more of a gentle, softer delivery, excuse me, that usually they're so much more receptive to, and it gets you so much further.
Totally. I also saw this thing on TikTok where this girl was like, train your boyfriend to get you flowers through habit tracking. Like, basically, what? like you ask them like, oh, will you go to the grocery store this week? And then you're like, oh, but like, flowers would be cute, like, just like a little. And then like the next week you'll be like, oh, like, the flowers seem like they're dying, like, should you grab some more on your way home? And then you like teach them the habit. No, I'm dead serious. And I think it's like, we expect our partners to know, and what I realize is it's a direct reflection of how hard we are on ourselves. When we're hard on our partners, and when we're like making it mean that when they do one thing, it negates everything they did before, you know, with always and never, like, like, you're discounting everything they've done for you in the past. You know, I notice that that is the language I use for myself when the intrusive thoughts come in, when I do one thing that puts me off my routine. And so I actually notice, like, by giving my partner grace and giving my partner love and practicing that outside of myself, I notice that it changes the language and the way that I speak to myself, which honestly has been the biggest change. It's like, I can give my partner grace and I don't make it mean that the one thing that he does completely takes away from it all the amazing things that he's done, I can do that for myself too. I don't have to make the one thing that feels like a fuck up or the one thing that feels like a mistake or whatever. I don't have to make that mean that that's my entire being. Like, that's just right. Like a little sliver of a moment that happened. And it always brings me back to my core values and like how I feel about myself. So I feel like that's also something important to notice, is like the way that you speak to others in your partnership, yeah, especially, is going to reflect in the way that you speak to yourself. So when we can give them grace, as long as they're willing to do the work. If not, they're not willing to do the work, goodbye.
Yeah.
But they are willing to do the work, like,
yeah,
giving them grace. And then I realize, oh my God, I can give myself grace too.
Yeah. It's all a mirror. It's so sweet. Yeah. I do think that's like the most important thing in a relationship, is to have someone who's willing to adapt and grow with you, like more than anything else, because I know that we're not going to be us right now. It's not going to be the same as us when we're 50. And that's just the truth of it. So having someone who's willing to grow and expand, I feel like holds so much more space for all the potential and possibilities that are still coming in life, you know?
This podcast is sponsored by Dipsy, and I'm going to get you guys 30 days for free. Just listen all the way to the end. Dipsy is taking the thrill of romance novels and weaving them into addictive audio entertainment. Imagine the steamy moments, the heart-stopping moments, and the happily ever afters you crave, all brought to life in a beautifully produced spicy story. Dipsy isn't just about pleasure anymore. It's about getting lost in captivating narratives that leave you breathless. It's a world where romance novels and sexiness meets captivating storytelling. Dipsy is basically an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters, and this is just going to help you and you or your lover just get so hot and heavy and honestly wet. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high-quality and captivating audio fiction. And for listeners of Skinny Dipping, Dipsy is going to offer an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. It's also going to be linked below. dipsystories.com/skinnydipping. Go check it out, because it's free and why not?
Yeah. So one last question while on this topic, though. Do you have any advice for someone listening who is really feeling like they're struggling with finding or keeping their independence in a relationship, especially, you know, sometimes it can be hard to be on your spiritual or self-expansive journey if your partner maybe isn't in that same lane as you, or if you're spending too much time with your partner? So just, do you have any advice for anyone in that situation of keeping that independence in a relationship?
The first, I love like actionable advice. Like, yeah, I love like the theory and the mindset, but I think like an actionable piece of advice that I'm still learning to step into, but I'm realizing is so powerful, is to actually like cut the fucking texting. Because, for example, like if your partner, great, right now, my partner is away and he's on like vacation with his twin sister. And it's like, if I'm expecting him to text right at that moment, it's going to cause triggers within me. It's going to cause miscommunications because of tone not matching up. And I realize that texting is kind of this like codependent, constantly trying to reach out.
Right.
But, and the most fights that we get into will be because I'll be like, well, I don't give a fuck what I'm saying. I'm on my fucking phone. I'm texting. And it's like, if we actually hop on a call, I'm not going to say the same things that I would say over text. I just wouldn't, because it's way easier to type it and be like, well, it doesn't hold a lot of meaning because it's just words on a screen rather than saying it with your own voice. So I think texting has been a big thing, because I know a lot of people get triggered, like when their partner goes out or something like that, and expecting them to text them. And it's just like, well, first of all, you just got to trust your partner. And if you can't trust them, that's a whole nother thing. So I think an actual piece of advice would be like, can you stop needing to reach out all the time? Like, can you just really make the moments that you have together quality time, whether that's like hopping on a phone call or a FaceTime if you're away from each other, or just seeing each other in real life and catching up then, rather than being like constantly up to date with what they're up to. Like, you don't need to know what your partner's up to. You also don't really need to know their location. Like, me and my partner removed each other's locations after having it for like 5 years. And I feel so much better not having my partner's location, because I'm like, we can just trust each other. Right. We're not cheating on each other. Nothing's happening. But also at the same time, like, what I've learned is like little things like, okay, he goes to a bar and like a girl comes up to him and like he talks to her for like 2 minutes, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I've had to realize like those little things like that, like don't matter as much as I thought they did when I was like 19. When I was 19, that was the fucking end of the world. If my partner mm-hmm. was like, I even looked at another girl, yeah, I was like, I'll fucking kill you. No. Whoa, that's intense. But like now as I'm getting older, I'm just like, the more that I can just be like, I trust, like I'm the hottest fuck. Why would my partner cheat on me? I'm so hot. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And also just knowing like, if you don't have trust with your partner, you don't have anything. So right. I feel like that's really helped me as an actionable step. But also with independence, I would say like spending time with yourself is actually everything. Like I love to just go somewhere in nature, put my phone away, bring my journal, bring my oracle cards, bring my pipe. I smoke a little bit of weed. I hang out with myself. I journal. And I think just having like, I want to say hang out with myself probably like twice a week, I would say on average. And I think just having that time allows you to be like, okay, like I am good on my own.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's tough though. It's tough. I will say like being independent within a relationship is part of the lesson, which I think brings mm-hmm. us back to like the beauty of the process, the beauty of right. growing up and the come up story that we're all creating within ourselves is like, okay, but like I get to learn this lesson through these relationships. And yeah, I think just spending a lot of time with myself is really important. And also just like really focusing on quality time over like quantity yeah. contact.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. What would you say? I'm trying to think. I'm like,
those are great answers. Only like I'm thinking of like kind of what you said about spending alone time. Like hobbies is another huge one that I think of, and just having your own goals, like your own things that you're working towards. Like I am such a morning routine stan. I think I'm always going to be a morning routine stan. Like I'm like, I need to be off my phone. I need to go meditate. I need to do something of spending time, like just in mindfulness in the morning. And like, that's not something that's super important to my partner. So prioritizing that, you know, myself is really important, and just different hobbies that I have, like going to the gym or reading or whatever the case is, or doing like taking photos, you know, I have just random things. That helps just to have something else outside of your partner that you're interested in.
And I then love also, that.
Yeah. And then just having your own goals also just gives you something else to focus on. But I'm the same way with the texting. Like that was like, I feel like all high school relationships, you're ding, 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 like totally. Texting all day, every day. And that was just, my boyfriend's a bit older than me. And I think he just was more outgrown of that. But like, I remember when we first started talking, I thought that that was still something that was like expected in my brain of like, oh, if you're dating someone, you text all the time. But that's just something we've never done. It just was kind of
the dynamic.
It's so much better.
It's like, way better. And then you get to catch up in real life. Like, yeah, I don't want to know what you're up to all the time, because then what are you going to talk about?
Yes. And I just feel like I have space to like live my life like outside of him and our relationship. It's like, because that's what's important, is you're still a human. So feeling like you don't need that contact with him all the time gives you that space to like breathe and remember you're your own identity, like your own person. So I think it's huge. So,
and willing to be uncomfortable in that. I think like when you're first learning to get out of that, especially like after high school, after college relationships, and kind of like really starting to grow up, true. And you start to learn that, it's like you just have to be willing to be uncomfortable a couple times, and then eventually it becomes more comfortable. I also will say, I love what you said about the goals, and something that is an actionable piece of advice is something that I do like every month, 2 months, month and a half, maybe, usually around like full moons and new moons. It kind of just like comes through naturally, the inspiration to do this, but I love to game plan my life. Like, ooh. I love to like physically write it down, and I'll kind of go through the categories. So I'll look at like my career goals, even like my joy, my fun, my play, my friendships, like kind of like that category. Goals within my relationships. What do I want that to look like? What do I want my personal self, you know, my habits, my spiritual journey, the time that I spend with myself, like what I want that to look like, my health. And I kind of like look at all these different categories, and I love to write down kind of what I want out of them. And then you realize you're the center of your solar system. You are the sun, Yes. And your partner is just one of your beautiful planets that's that's in your life. And that relationship is so amazing. But the more that you can kind of be like, my relationship isn't my whole life. Like, I have so much other things going for me. You realize you become less and less codependent. Something that I will say that relates to this is when I'm trying to change, instead of being like, I don't want to do this, I'm trying to take this away. I'm trying to take away codependency. I'm trying to remove dependency on my partner. I'm trying to remove like these triggers. Instead of thinking like of taking things away, I think of actually adding more good things so that there's not space for the codependency. So if I add more focus on my goals, focus on my health, focus on my, you know, joy and play and adventure and travel, then there's not as much space for the codependency. Right. And I don't even have to think about getting rid of it because my focus is just elsewhere. So I think when, and I got this inspiration from literally a nutritionist talking about food on your plate, like instead of thinking about, oh, I need to take out these sugars, these carbs, like all these things, like fuck that. Instead, think about adding healthy things to your plate. Think about adding something that you know that's really nutritious.
Right.
Think about adding like turmeric to whatever you're drinking or whatever it is. Like, adding in more good things leaves less room. I don't want to use the words good or bad too, because I feel like that's just like so one-dimensional. Adding more healthy things and more full body yeses onto your plate is going to leave less room for the insecurities and triggers and anxiety. Right. But if you don't add those healthy things, then you just like have all this space for all those triggers to kind of come up. So I just think that for me, I love adding more of the good things, and definitely planning like what I want in each of my categories makes me realize like I'm the center of my solar system. I'm the sun.
Right. I feel like it just essentially inevitably pushes out the less self-serving things because there's just no room in it. And our attention is obviously going to whatever we're focusing on. So if we're focusing on less codependency, less this, less that, we're going to be thinking about the codependency. So it's like, it just guides our attention to the things that we want to be pouring into by focusing on what we want to add. I think that's so beautiful. That's awesome. Okay. Hey. I feel like we could talk forever, dude. This is like so way longer than I thought it would be.
I know, you might have to go and cut some of this stuff out. I'm like,
dude, I'm all in. Are you kidding me? I love this. I love what we flew through. Like, and honestly, I didn't hit one thing on my freaking outline and I love it. Like, I love it so much.
But the outline is good because it gives you the sense of security.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like we have a direction if I needed it, but like we definitely didn't need it. I love that it was just a free flowing. This is exactly what I wanted. Like just an authentic free flowing conversation. And I loved it. You were so easy to talk to. Okay. So at the end of the podcast episodes, I always finish with an affirmation. So I don't know if you want to share your affirmation. Really, it could be anything that you're working through, an affirmation that's really speaking with you right now. Something that you're really trying to embody.
Yeah. I think my main affirmation I've been really claiming and saying every single day is like, my success is inevitable.
Oh, and that's crazy you say that.
Really? Is that like yours too?
Yes. I have.
Really?
Yes. That's so crazy.
Wait. No, I love that because I think like coming from the energy of, okay, well, I'm maybe not exactly where I want to be yet, but the operative word there is yet. It's literally on its way. I'm on my way. I'm enjoying the ride as we go. And that makes us realize like, okay, we get to enjoy the journey, enjoy the process, because my success is inevitable. It literally is.
True.
Like, I genuinely believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like the podcast is giving me like so much confidence. Like there's so many things that I didn't think that I would be able to do that now I've done. Like things like recording at Spotify. Like that's not mentally prepared for that. That was not something I was manifesting or calling in. It wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't even know there was like Spotify studios. And then all of a sudden, all these little things fell into place, like with my management. And it was just like them connecting me with them. Anyway, it's just like my success is inevitable. And literally, I can't even see how good it's going to get because it's like, I can't even see how good it's going to get. I just know that it's going to be beyond what my little human mind could think of because spirit is literally guiding me. It's guiding all of us. And that's something I also love to say is like spirit, source, universe, like use me for the greater good of the world. Use me to convey and move through this divine plan. Like I know that like we all individually are just intricate little pieces of like this bigger collective transition that's happening. And just like being aware of that and being like, I'm willing to like use me, like, yes. Like literally,
yeah, like so. Be a vessel for it. I always say that too.
Yeah.
Like, please vessel, work yeah. through me. Yeah, please work through me to share consciousness with the world is like what a little like prayer that I say, because it's so true. It's like we're here. The true core, like at its very core, the essence of what we're doing is to help others and to serve. And it's like the best way to do that is to allow source and consciousness to flow through us to do that. And I think it's so important to hold that intention.
Totally. And as long as we're living that intention, our success is inevitable. Like, that's what I realized. It's true. Wait, it's literally so inevitable at this point. Like, I'm like, it actually blows my mind sometimes. Like, it really is inevitable. Like, and in that, I'm just like, okay, let's go.
I know.
Like, and I feel that for everyone around me too. And I feel like holding the people that we love and witnessing them and being like, I see everything you're going to do. Like, I look at my friends and I'm just like, I see everything you're supposed to do in this world. And I see your potential. And I like let them know that. I'm like, your success is inevitable. Like, I see everything you're going to do. And I feel like it's just so important to also tell ourselves, but also tell the people that we love that, because we all need to hear it sometimes from an outside 100%. Source.
And I think it's crazy because like me as an outsider looking at you, like I think I look up to everything that you've done. I think you've accomplished so much. And it's like crazy hearing from your perspective that you're like, oh, I still, you know, just making comments like I'm still not where I want to be yet. Or I know my success is coming. Like in my eyes, I'm like, dude, you've done so much. Like you're so successful. And I think sometimes we discount ourselves that, you know what I mean? It's like you still have done so much and impacted so many people and have achieved so many things and just have left such a great impact. And you shouldn't discount yourself of that. And I think it's great that you have such big dreams, because I'm the same way. You mentioned that earlier that you hate feeling stagnant. Like I am the same way, but I trust like you, it's inevitable for you to not continue to evolve because that's your heart. That's just who you are. And so that's the direction you're always going to keep going because it's just in your DNA.
Thank you.
So. You're welcome.
That means a lot to me. I will say I'm very proud of myself and I definitely like to sit in the gratitude of how far I've come.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm like, I'm about to be 25 and I've moved out and into my parents' house, but right now I'm back in my parents' house. And I think that's just something that I'm struggling with because it's just like, I feel like it's just like, I know that I don't want to be living with my parents, you know, like, I think that's just like kind of a missing puzzle piece. And I also don't know where I want to be based, where I want to live. Like right now I'm still in my hometown. My hometown is Maui, Hawaii. So it's like really tough to leave.
Yeah.
Because I'm like a surfer girl. Like, but also I feel like sometimes like my career and things like that are a little bit outside my they're kind of on the outside of my comfort zone. And where I want to take the podcast and everything. The internet's great because we can grow from anywhere, but I would love to kind of be more where things are kind of happening.
I get that.
So I think I'm just like feeling like some areas of my life, like I'm feeling really like, okay, I'm doing the damn thing. And then other areas, I'm like, I'm so fucking lost.
Yeah, and I think it's so normal. Dude, I feel like we have so much to talk about like after we record, because I'm the same way. I'm still living I'm not in my hometown, but I'm living like in my parents' house. And so I feel the same way. Like it feels so handicapping sometimes to be like, dog. But at the same time, it's like, it's so blessed that like, we're so lucky that we're able to be here. You know what I mean? It's like, is it that big a deal? But I so agree with you. I'm like turning 25 in June. I'm like, I just feel like I want my own life and I'm the same way. I don't know where I want to move to. So it's like,
girl, I'm going on some travels. I'm like, you should come with me.
Dude,
I'm going to be a podcaster on the go. Like I'm trying to buy a one-way ticket to Europe. Yeah, I'm like, dude, like I'm planning in July. I'm like,
travel's the best. Like
I need 10 it. Out of 10. I've never actually, I've gone on like a couple little trips by myself, but I've never like gone to a foreign country by myself and like did
so expensive.
Done the whole eat, pray, love, mama mia. I'm like ready for my eat, pray, love, mama mia moment.
You're feeling that now, like you have to do it because that's something that I feel like, I mean, especially, I don't know what your plans are, but like theoretically, if you did want to like settle down and have a house and like have kids, whatever, it's like you are so young and have so much freedom right now. It's like you want to capitalize on that. That's something I love to do. I studied abroad in Spain, so I was there for 2 months. And then I actually went to Oahu for 10 weeks. I was there, which is also crazy that like we coincidentally, I was doing the podcast when I was there, but like that was something when I had a full body yes of like, I love Hawaii. So, I mean, who doesn't? But I was like, I need to go there. And so, that was like a full body yes that I had to take action on. And it was like so life changing, one of the best things I've ever done. But I went there completely alone. I didn't know anyone. And it was, again, best thing of my life. I went to Costa Rica for like 7 weeks, didn't know anyone in the beginning. And like, it was so expensive. So I'm so passionate about solo travel. I think it's the most empowering experience ever. So
like, who wants to house me?
And people in Europe are nicer, I feel like, and more open to let you into their home.
Yeah. I feel like they are like that. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, I'm a great guest. I'm chill.
I'll do my dishes.
Yeah, no, okay. Literally.
Yeah. All right. I feel like I should close this out.
Okay. Yeah.
Before I get like not in the zone. I didn't even do my own affirmation.
Yeah. Okay, what's your affirmation? Your affirmation.
So my affirmation, this is like a little bit random, but I've just have been working on being a little bit more confident with my speech lately and just having, I don't know, more declaration when I'm speaking. So my affirmation is, I speak my conscious truth with confidence and conviction.
Wow.
I speak my conscious truth with confidence and conviction. I always repeat it twice. Sorry, that was a habit. But
no, I love it. That's honestly so beautiful. I feel like.
Thank you.
It's also like kind of like a mirror of the process, because it's like you're using such beautiful words and like those are like convicting words kind of, so it's like mirrors it, which I love.
True.
Love that. I share one more time, what is it?
I speak my conscious truth with confidence and conviction.
I speak my conscious truth with confidence and conviction.
Thank you so much, Kayla. You literally are even better than I ever imagined. You're so brilliant. I loved having this conversation. I feel like we clicked so much. I admire you so much. I look up to you so much. I thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom. I feel like we dropped some golden nuggets in this epi. I hope a lot of people can relate to it. So thank you so much for your time and being here with us.
Yay.
Thank you so much. You're so brilliant. I highly recommend her podcast, especially if you enjoy listening to Lift Fit Listens. Very similar, but like on steroids with her own way. It's
so much steroids.
I just love it so much. And I just think it's so brilliant. I just love you. And I'm so glad we're able to talk today. So thank you so much.
Me too.
And
this was so impactful. I'm like blown away. I want to share this episode. I'm like, dude, this is so good.
Really can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Warmer, sunnier days are calling, so fuel up with them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. If you are like me, sometimes you can forget to feed yourself when you're super busy, and that's why I love Factor. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore, and you can have as little or as much as you want every single week. And if this interests you at all, I'm going to give you guys 50% off only for Skinny Dipping listeners. So head to factormeals.com/skinny50 and use code skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. Win-win. That's code skinny50 at factormeals.com/skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Go check it out. It'll make your life so effortless and nutritious.
As the weather is getting warmer, it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I've wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul, and I don't want to spend a fortune. I'm constantly wearing the 100% washable silk slip dress, and people ask me all the time where I got it from. I've also now got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking on trend year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which you know is so important to me when it comes to clothing brands. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/skinny dipping for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/skinny dipping to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/skinny dipping.